We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. I want to do part B of a message I began to preach last week. We're in a series called Taking Ground. It's around a prophetic promise that God gave to Pastor Danielle this year for our church that we would take ground both literally, come on somebody, and also spiritually we'd be taking ground in our own lives. And so last week I talked a bit about about faith, okay? And so really what we're talking about is faith. The Bible describes three types of faith. The first type of faith is saving faith. Saving faith is when someone hears the message about how much God loves you and about how he sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sin. And when we hear that message that God loves us, that it's possible to know him as a friend and be forgiven in a moment, a spark of faith comes and we respond and we begin a relationship with God. That's saving faith. If you're here today and you don't yet have a relationship with God, then at the end of this message, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to pray a prayer helping people connect to a God who's always loved you and got a great plan for your life. That's saving faith. There's another type of faith that's called the gift of faith. This one comes in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians, and it's one of the gifts when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And the gift of faith is you hit a situation, because you're full of the Holy Spirit, suddenly you get a surge that God's going to do a miracle, that something's going to work out in this particular moment, and that's the gift of faith. Some people have that. We can access it if we have the Holy Spirit. And then the third type of faith is the faith around answered prayer, faith for answered prayer. So this is different to saving faith, different to the gift of faith. It's actually something, I like to call it the muscle of faith. Come on, it's something that you develop faith that God's going to answer the prayer that you have in your life. Makes sense. I was talking to our kids earlier this week, and one of the things that we've always kind of mucked around and joked about is, and back in the, if you're around in the 90s, there used to be some quite Pentecostal preachers who would come along and they'd pray for somebody, and they would just say, and what they'd say is, take it, receive it, it's yours. And it would just, and it was like a way to receive the power of God. Come back to congregational training. If you're getting prayed for over conference and someone comes up and says, take it, receive it, it's yours, don't just stand there, just receive the power of God. Well, we grew up using that language, because I used to play with our kids on their bed, and they'd stand on their bed and we're like, take it, receive it, it's yours, and then push them over, they'd go slam on their bed, and it was all safe and fun and they loved it. And so, and then we'd, you know, we'd sit at the dinner table and go, you know, they'd say, pass me the salt or the pepper, and go, oh, take it, receive it, it's yours. We'd play with it, to the point that our kids actually thought that was normal language. You know, when you do something at home that's just your family, but it's not normal. And so our kids were working at GYG drive-through for a while. People would drive through and they'd have the little, you know, Doritos or whatever it is. They'd have the burritos, and someone would walk past, they'd hand it out the window and go, take it, receive it, it's yours. And get all these weird looks and wonder, what is going on? Well, that's eventually they asked, and we said, no, that's an us thing. That's not normal out there. So when my son went to university and he found himself in the third row and the lecturer was making a point, and he just go, so good. And then like, oh, no one's responding. tell me you're a Pentecostal kid without telling me you're a Pentecostal kid, right? You're giving feedback in the staff training session somewhere in the bank or wherever you work. All right. Anyway, we're back. So we're talking about faith. So faith, the Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not hope. So when we're talking about answered prayer, we're asking God to answer a need. Maybe we want to see a miracle in a marriage. Maybe we want to see a restoration with a family member. Maybe a turnaround in a business. Maybe it's a financial thing, a health thing. And we've got a prayer we want to be answered. Now, a prayer always starts with, I hope God can do something about this. And then it can progress to, I hope God can do something and I know he can, but that's still not faith. I hope he can and I know he can is a starting place, but faith is a substance. The Greek word literally means title deed. Faith is where I have something in my heart that is convinced that it's going to happen, not that it could happen, Not that I'm hoping it happens, but I've got a concrete feeling, and it's evidence. If you could open up my heart and there would be a concrete answer that this is happening, and I'm absolutely confident. That's what faith is. Now, the journey to faith is hard, is hoping. The journey to faith is knowing God can. But when faith kicks in, I'm confident that he's going to any moment now, because spiritually it's already done. So when Jesus went into a town where he grew up, the Bible said he could do no miracles except heal a few headaches, that type of vibe, because there was just unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. So God moves, his power moves where there's an atmosphere of faith. Faith is the conductor for the power of God in our lives. And so two people can come and ask God for the same thing, and one person who's developed and cultivated their muscle of faith have a confidence of faith, and God's drawn to faith. He's not drawn to need. Because if God was drawn to need, all the needs would already be met. God's actually drawn to faith. The Bible says this, Hebrews 11, 6, faith, it's, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that the evidence of faith is that I'm diligently seeking God for an answer. So then Jesus said, if you've got faith in your heart, whosoever has faith in their heart and they don't doubt, you can literally speak to a mountain and it can be cast into a sea, because faith moves mountains. All right. So last week we talked about that. We're like, okay, you take ground. The key is getting faith in your heart. Well, that's awesome. How do I get it? If faith is confidence, if faith is an absolute certainty, a title deed on the inside, how do I get it? Who wants to know how you get it? So listen to last week's message, but I'll give you a little 3-minute summary. First thing I talked about, the first three things was ask, receive, declare. So basically it works like this. When you've decided you want something, you ask. You ask and you keep on asking and you keep on asking with a shamed face, with an unashamed boldness, audaciousness, that you keep asking God until you get an answer. Ask and keep on asking, Jesus said. Ask, 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 ask until you get an answer. Now you might get an answer. The answer might be that the prayer's answer to me is answered after however long. It's like, oh, God moved, he answered it. Come on, that's awesome. He also might answer and say no. And you might, the no might be you're not ready yet. The no might, you know, sometimes if my 7-year-old kid came to me and said, Dad, can you give me a BMW? I'd go, no, you're not ready yet. Plus, you know, need to learn how to save and drive. So that would be, sometimes God knows the bigger picture and he'll say no. Sometimes God's silent when you're asking him. You want to know why he's silent? Because he wants to whisper to you, and you're only going to hear him if you get close. Because he wants you close. God's more interested in knowing you close in a relationship than answering your prayers like he's a vending machine. He wants relationship. Okay, so and then ultimately, one of the ways faith works is God answers your ask with a promise. And so he gives you a promise. It doesn't necessarily answer the request straight away, but he gives you a yes. The promise could be a scripture. The promise could be a picture, a vision that you see. Dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. The promise could be a prophecy that someone speaks over your life. And it's like God answers your prayer. I remember actually Catherine Ruanala, two and a half years ago, Danielle and I went down to their church for a miracle night when we're on our sabbatical having a break. That day I prayed a prayer I'd never prayed in my life. And it was from a scripture. And as I prayed that prayer, I got to Catherine's church. And the prayer essentially was, God, show me your glory. I want to see and know your glory. And I cried out to God. We went there, and it was within a couple of days. We went there that night, and she said, the Lord has heard your prayer to show you his glory, and he will answer your prayer in a way that will impact not just you, but your church, the region, beyond. Who would think that's an answer to prayer? Okay. Now, has he shown me his glory like I asked? Not yet, but he's given me a promise. through a prophecy. Sometimes it's through a dream. Okay, so this is often how God asks. And the faith process is where we ask. Then we receive. So that's what I'm talking about there. You receive an answer from God. So that's, and now you've got a promise. Once you've got a promise from the God who does not break his promises, you're away. Once you've got something from God that's a yes, it's a scripture, you've got something to work with then. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How does faith get in my heart? It comes as God speaks a scripture to my heart. And that scripture, like a match, has a capacity to light a fire of faith in your heart and in my heart. That's a word from God. Once I've got that word, then it's up to me. Just because God's given a promise, this is where the work really begins. It's like, as I said, babe, last week, I'm not going to talk much about pregnancy when you're not here because you're in Melbourne. But this is kind of how it works. God will sometimes put a seed of a promise in our heart, and it's like we're pregnant with potential. But now we've got to incubate the seed or the promise from God and watch over that, speak it over our lives, because the journey goes like this. We got faith as a spark the first time we heard that. Often the opposite happens now that we're on a faith journey, and now what we've got to do is keep speaking the word, because every time you speak the word, it builds faith in your heart until you get to the point where you've got 100% confidence in your heart, you've carried that seed to full term, and then you're ready to deliver that baby in the spirit in Jesus' name. Make sense? All right, say it after me. Ask, receive, declare. All right, you get that going. Then today, let's go to the next three things. Put the next screen up. See, act, praise. See, act, praise. It's interesting that you can develop faith in your life for a particular area. One person might have faith for healing. They've broken through, they've worked with God, it's shifted that area in their life. Another person might have faith to reach children in schools, Pastor Kathy Clancy, and there's a confidence in her heart that I'm going to lead people into school or to kids ministry or impact people. I've got faith for that. That muscle's been grown. One of the muscles, the faith muscles that Danielle and I have built is around property and houses. So I was thinking about this outside of investment, business, and church properties. We've had five houses that have all had the miraculous touch of God on them. The very first one was actually when I was a single guy, and I got given a place to rent for rent free for a year. So it was a little farm and a little house, and so that was rent. And it was God sort of going, "Hey, here we go." The next one, we actually were looking to buy a house, and these are more major miracles. Others were just blessing. But we walked into a display home in Budrum Meadows, and we walked into what we thought was the nicest house we'd ever seen in our life. It was like a 5-star hotel, and it was just beautiful because it was a display home, had all the extra features. And as we walked through it, like, this is amazing. Wouldn't it be cool to have a house like this? Within 6 months, we found out our friends, their parents owned that house, and they wanted to rent it to us for quite a considerable amount under the market value, like, you know, about $100 or something under market value for the next couple of years. And I could go on and on in terms of miracle. Our first house that we purchased was a miracle. The next house after that, I shared about last week. Listen to the podcast or YouTube about God leading us. But I wanted to tell you about one particular one today, the one we're in now, and it was a miracle journey. And all of these things that I'm sharing with you were things that we were activating. We had a prophecy that God's got a beautiful house for you, and it's going to have a view, and you're happy with the house that you're in, but God's dissatisfied with your contentment, and he wants to bless you at another level. It'll have a new outlook. And so we're like, yeah, I don't think that's for us, literally. We put it on the shelf, and a few years later, we began to believe again, maybe that was from God. Maybe the prophet had it right. I was sitting in Perth. I remember at a hotel in Perth ministering. I remember the moment I read a scripture, and it talked about Peter staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house was by the sea. And the moment I read that phrase, by the sea, it just jumped out and started slapping me. It's like, you, that's what I want to do. We were in Little Mountain, and I want you to move to somewhere closer to the ocean. And so we're like, okay, we had the promises from God. We began declaring them. We began looking. We couldn't find anything. So, of course, logic saying, wait till you find something and then buy it and then move. But sometimes faith doesn't work by logic. And so God spoke to us and stirred us. So we said, okay, let's sell our house. And so we sold our house. God was involved. There was a few miracles in the process of the selling of our house. We began this journey of looking to buy a house. After a few months, we walked into the house we live in right now and it's like, oh my gosh, this has been tailor-made for us beyond our expectation. And so, of course, what's happening in the background is we'd plunged into one of the most painful seasons in our life. Because when you sell your house and you don't yet have a house, you're moving from vacation rental to vacation rental to vacation rental with three kids, two dogs and a couple of cats. Or no, one dog and a couple of cats. So it's chaos and there's spiritual warfare. So we're in this zone believing God. When we walked into that house, we began to pray for it. We put an offer in. They wouldn't budge. They budged $10,000. We eventually came up to about 20% under their asking rate. Because that's as far as we could stretch. And they just laughed at us and said no. So tail between our legs, we got a permanent rental. We moved into a permanent rental, got all our stuff out of storage. But at the same time, we just kept every day declaring and we had about 10 scriptures that God gave us and a prophecy. And so we're declaring the prophecy. We're encouraging ourselves by what God said, even though the opposites happen. While we're doing that, I began to see three pictures over a series of a few weeks. The first one, I saw a picture of angels and the army of God walking down the street to where we were going to be. And that picture produced faith that it wasn't just potentially anywhere, it was this place. So we're walking down. Then the next picture a few months later I get is I can see us backed up to the house, again angels because it's warfare, and it's like there's all these evil forces in the house and we're throwing grenades in, like we're in warfare zone. They've got sandbags. So I'm like, okay. And then finally, a few months later, I got a picture of a truck, a removalist truck, backed up to the house and they were moving out and we were moving in. Those pictures were part of God giving us faith. And then eventually, the miracle of the story, eventually they came back and said, would you resubmit your offer, the one that's 20% below our offer? That God literally hid the property. There was mistakes in all of the advertising. No one found it. And we got this particular property as a miracle of God's provision. So the reason that I tell you that's one area we've got faith in, and that's one story. There's a couple of principles out of that I want to share with you. We've obviously were asking, received, and had promises that we were declaring. But the first thing I want to talk about is seeing. Your imagination. Your imagination can be used for evil or good. You're like, get smart. If only you'd used it for good and not for evil. You've got an imagination, right? Come with me. And God's designed your imagination to be part of the creative spiritual process. Just as your words God's word in your mouth is effective at pulling down stuff and building up stuff and creating, your words are effective, but equally as effective is your divine imagination. What you see when you imagine, visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will speak to us, often He speaks to us in pictures. Habakkuk the prophet said, I'll stand my watch and I'll see what He will say to me. I'll see, no, not hear, I'll see what He might say. When God speaks to us, He often speaks in pictures. Jesus said it like this. He said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. That gives me the indication that every morning as Jesus withdrew into prayer, he'd wait on God and God would show him pictures of what was going to happen that day. And then Jesus, out of those pictures, would produce faith and he would act and respond to what he saw the Father doing. With Abraham, God gave him a promise, you'll be the father of many nations. And as a reminder, he said, look up and see all the stars. That's how many descendants you'll have. He gave him a visual representation of a promise that he'd spoken to his heart. Then he said, look at all the sand on the sea. Look at the sand. He said, that sand, that's as numerous as the descendants that you'll one day have. God knew that Abraham needed a visual reminder that every time he comes out of his tent night, hey kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, all the descendants. Oh, the sand. Oh, so many descendants. God knows we need pictures to remind us and encourage us, but then also to activate our imagination. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us." God's power works within our asking, but it also works within our imagining. Did you know your thoughts are as loud in heaven as your words? True. So if with one hand you're asking God to do stuff, but on another going, that's never going to happen in your mind, they cancel each other out. So activating your thought life, your imagination, is a key part of how we get faith in our hearts. I remember, and the two ways this can happen. I remember Pastor Simon Mack, you preached a message years ago overseas and talked about hospitality and what would be a step you could take to extend your place for hospitality. And so Danielle and I thought, you know what, we've got a horrible above ground pool from like the 70s. Wouldn't it be nice to have an in-ground pool at our home? And so we began to research. We found one that we really loved, a resort-style pool. We cut the picture out of a pool magazine and we stuck it on the glass so that when you looked out into our backyard at the old pool, we would see the new pool. And so that's a visual reminder. We're going to have a pool like that one day, God. We don't have the money. We're looking to you to help us to provide, but we're doing something visually to activate our faith. The other thing you can do, so that's where we do something. The other is when you pray and God gives you a picture, then every time you pray over that thing, engage your imagination remembering. So I know for Pastor Danielle, got this picture for our church land. I call it our church land, the land we're about to buy by faith in Jesus' name. And one of the pictures she had, she could see diggers digging the foundations. So when she prayed, she just had this anointed imagination of that picture. So whenever I pray for our church land, I take that picture and I see it. I see us breaking turf. I see us having a big party. I see diggers on the land. I see it being excavated. And so that picture is how I cultivate the faith and look after the seed of the promise that God's put in my heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, turn your imagination on for good and not for evil. Come on, somebody. That's C. Okay, the next is to act. Okay, I'm not talking about like Academy Award acting. All right, I'm not talking about your big moment for a drama show. There's enough drama around all of our lives without extra drama going on, somebody. Act. What does this look like? Well, when you've been declaring the Word of God, and seeing the pictures of God that's come from God, not something you've stirred up yourself, it's come from God. And faith has come to a place where it's got some substance to it. You're now starting to get some confidence. Sometimes it's time to act. Sometimes it's time to sell the house and step out by faith. Sometimes it's time to do something as a step. Jesus did this over and over again. Miracles are often sparked by steps of faith. He prayed for some lepers, 10 lepers, the Bible said, and then he said, go and see the priest and he'll give you a clearance. Now, they weren't healed, but the Bible says as they went, they got healed. What if they'd said, no, we'll go when you heal us? I'm not moving. But Jesus said, no, go, and as you go, as you take a step, as you act, as you move forward, and the Bible says as they went, they were healed. So another person, he spat on the mud, rubbed the mud in his eyes, he was blind, and he's like, go to the pool of Siloam, wash off the mud, and you'll be healed. What if the guy goes, get stuffed, you just spat my eyes. I'm not doing that. Jesus is, he's calling for a response that's activated by faith. He's calling for you to do something when you've got the substance that's a sign of your faith. It's a trigger for a miracle. That's what acting is. When it's a God thing and God spurs it and he walks off and as he watched, the Bible says the man went and washed and came back seeing. What could your act of faith be? You've been praying for your friend to come into a relationship with Jesus. You're starting to see it. You've got a confidence. Maybe you're going to go to Koorong and buy a new believer's Bible and write their name in it. That's an act of faith. Maybe you've been believing God for a house for a while and you're like, oh, but you get this confidence and you're like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go start seeing some display homes. You're like, oh, but that will just be disappointing. No, that's not how faith works. Faith stretches out. Faith. Maybe you're going to register a business name because God's been stirring in your heart for ages to start a business. Maybe you're going to go and see a banker or a broker or just something. You're going to activate your faith and you ask God, what's the step that will trigger a greater dimension of faith in my life? Now, it's not magic. It's not like, oh, I do something and something's going to disappear. Woof. No. It's an act of faith that's got in your heart. And often in that act of faith, God loves acts of faith. And this is why Hebrews 11 talks about Noah as one of the heroes of faith who built an ark. Took him so many years. It had never rained. That's what you call an act of faith. That's how you get your name in the hall of fame of faith people. So that's acting. What can you do today? Selling our home was our act of faith. What can you do in your life? Now, wisdom, counsel, people around your world saying, does this resonate as a good act of faith for me, or am I just being an idiot? Because sometimes there can be a fine line. And here's the thing. The more you see God move, the more you can take big, risky steps of faith. So as the first step's a little step. Oh, God worked in that. Okay, the next step's a bigger step. Oh, okay, that this time around, God moved again. The next one's a big step of faith. So as you build faith in your life and develop a muscle over a period of time. All right, the last one is praise. Now, here we go. We're coming to a conference called Praise Him. Now, we're going to talk a lot about praise over this next week, and I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Let me warm you up for conference. Praise, first of all, is a pathway into the presence of God. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving, and I'll enter the courts with praise. I'm not going to preach about that, but that's a whole thing. Old Testament is a pattern of heaven. So the way we come into God's presence is by lifting up our eyes off ourselves, thanking God for all who He is, getting into that positive frame of mind, and we begin to say, God, this is who You are. That's praise. You are holy. You are worthy. You are powerful. You can do all things. So that's praise. That's the pathway into His presence. And we praise because He deserves it. We praise not because we feel like it, but our primary reason to praise is always because He deserves it. And I got to get my head straight so I'm thinking less about my issues and problems and more about the majesty and the glory and the goodness of God. So I praise. Now here's the thing. Sometimes praise creates a breakthrough. Paul and Silas in prison, they're praising. Now, they're not praising to get a breakthrough. They're actually praising because God deserves it. They didn't read a story about praise preceding breakthrough. They just praised because God deserves it. So they gave God some praise and God did a miracle. Judah before Jehoshaphat's army, they praised God because praise always goes further and praise precedes breakthrough. But sometimes, and you'll read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, about people eaten by lions or burned in fires, and you'll read about them not fighting but standing around together singing praise to God. And the praise is not to get a breakthrough. The praise is because God deserves it, because we're lifting our eyes to get a heavenly perspective. Does praise precede breakthrough? Absolutely, I believe it with all my heart. But the higher principle is praise is because God deserves it. He deserves our glory. He deserves our honor. That's who He is. But there is, the Bible talks about the praise of faith. The praise of faith. Isaiah 54 verse 1, we'll finish with this. Sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem. You've never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition. Spread out your home. Spare no expense. You'll soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. This was a prophecy from Isaiah when the people of Israel were in bondage, in captivity. I think Darius was the king at that particular time, coming towards the end of their time of captivity. They were despised by all the nations because they were downtrodden. They were slaves to Babylon and then Persia. They were an object of disappointment and scorn in the whole of the ancient world. And God comes and says, you're about to get out. You're about to, you're considered like you've got no children, you're poor, you're impoverished. And this is what I want you to do, because a breakthrough is coming. You're going to get delivered. So I want you to sing even though you've produced nothing. I want you to praise, sing and break forth with praise because of who I am, but also because of what I'm about to do. I want you to praise as if I've already done it. Give me the praise of faith as if I've already broken through for you. If God broke through for you, how would you praise Him? Well, praise like that. Build an extension for your children. That's an act of faith. Why, if you're barren, why are you going to build a nursing room? Well, if God's put confidence in your heart, you take steps of faith. I love, there's a Planet Shakers song. We're going to rock to it together in a moment. And it basically says this: if you're believing God for something, start praising like you've already received. Come on, if you're believing God, put a praise on it. It's an exclamation mark. Put a praise on it if you're believing God. So I'm going to get us to stand up, and I want you to think of something you're believing God for right now. And just for 1 minute, we're going to just rock out and begin. So let's put a song on. All right, turn it up. You can break some moves now. Stop praising like you already. Come on, somebody start praising right now. If you're believing God for something, start praising like you've already received. Come on, somebody praise God like you're about to get a breakthrough. Lift up your voice. Give Him honor. We praise you. For our church land, we praise you. For the glory of God, we praise you. Come on, sing joyfully. Time for victory now. Put a praise on it. There we go. Thank you, guys. All right, come on. Are you feeling it? The praise of faith. There we go. You can grab your seat for a moment. Three things. We see and we pray those things that God shows us. We act and take steps of faith that trigger God moving in our life. And we get the praise of faith on. The praise of faith. In Jesus' name. Can you close your eyes? Father, I thank you right through this room for the goodness and the glory of God, for answered prayers that you have for us, things that we're yet to see that will reveal your glory and your goodness in our families, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. We'll praise you because you deserve it. We'll praise you because it precedes breakthrough. And we'll praise you as if you've already answered us. The praise of faith. I said a little earlier that at the end of the service, we give people an opportunity to begin a relationship with God.